Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscribers. This is the September edition of our little cartoon chat show. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm standing outside drinking beers by the garbage can with my three best buds. We got Steven Sadak.
Hello there, partner.
Did John Wayne ever guest star?
Yeah, possibly. Not.
Probably the ghost, I imagine, the ghost of him.
I'm dead, Pilgrim. Chris Cabin.
Oh, hi there. Hey there.
Chris Cabin quoting my favorite character on the show. And of course, Eric Siska.
Yes, I'm a cigarette smoking cart. Wait, no, I'm a cartoon that smokes cigarettes.
Yes.
I'm kind of dyslexic today, folks.
It happens, dude. There's thunderstorms outside. It kicks off your dyslexia
it's
every
scary,
time.
Scary, dude. I was hiding under the bed for 3 hours.
Dude, I was up with my dog last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was crazy down here.
Well, I got my thunder shirt on, so I'm good to go. Feels like someone's hugging me.
Wrapped in a big, tight, neon pink shirt. Mm-hmm. I just said neon pink because that's the color of Marty's thunder shirt. Anyway, gang, we are here talking an episode of King of the Hill. The episode in question, which happens to be the most requested King of the Hill episode of all time as far as Listener Request Month goes. It's Isle 8A, original air date, November the 7th, 1999. I got to tell you something. I don't know about you guys. King of the Hill was a show I watched, like, weekly. I was super into it. And
really?
Then one day, I don't remember when. It was probably, like, when I graduated high school or maybe, like, senior year. I just stopped for no real reason. And I've, like, literally almost never gone back to it.
That's where I am as well. I think it's just, like, I think you do that with all kinds of TV shows. Don't like, especially ones that don't end. Like,
yes.
Refuse to end often. Mm-hmm. I think you just, like, at some point, you're like, I've had enough of this. I'm changing enough. Like, I'm not going, I don't want to do this anymore. I had like the first three seasons of this on DVD,
wow.
I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I really like this show. At just one point I was like, I don't need to keep doing this. I'm done.
My first full episode I've ever seen.
Wow.
And they should have tried adding some jokes, maybe.
Oh,
is
oh
it,
no.
It's kind of
what?
Like,
are you kidding?
You are out of your fucking mind.
This show, it's reminding me of the Family Circus comic strip.
Sure.
Holy
vibe I picked
shit.
Up
kind of, I see where you're going. I mean, because this is my experience of this was my parents got divorced, but we had my dad on Sundays. We'd be there. So that animation rock block really cut the tension on Sunday evenings.
Sure.
So we would I watched a shit ton of, and I enjoyed it. I really liked King of the Hill, but it was always like, when is The Simpsons coming on? Because I think this is usually, was it before The Simpsons? Was it at 7 or was it at 8:30?
I remember it as a lead-in.
Yes,
I
remember
believe.
It as a lead-in as well.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
All that's to say, I really dug it. Similar to Andrew and Chris, I just sort of checked out at a certain point. I think at a certain point, we also stopped going to my dad's on Sunday, so that might have been when that all kind of tied in together. But yeah, it just, rewatching this show, because I have not gone back, I was laughing and I was like, oh, all my friends are back. I did have that kind of vibe that I haven't seen the show in a long time.
Yeah.
And maybe it's been a little too long.
This might be a bad first episode because it's, about vaginal blood and whatnot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I think, though, Eric, to what you were talking about, I think that is the difference between, like, Simpsons, jokes first.
Yes.
That was the beautiful thing about Simpsons,
right.
I think, and that's what makes it the legend. That's why it is what it is.
Right. This is more morals we're telling people.
Well, not even, like, I think it's also character work is more integral to this. Like, these
it's
are also, real characters.
It's a little slow. I understand that they had to let the paint dry on the cartoon before they could get it to the
of course.
TV factory. But
I just
a little
can't
slow.
Believe this. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And yes, it is a character-driven thing for us. And that's another thing about this show. Just, I guess, do the Simpsons comparison. It is a show where, like, characters evolved and new characters came in and other characters kind of left. And, like, that wasn't, I mean, that's, the Simpsons just hits the reset button every week.
Yeah.
Family Guy hits the reset button that's every true. Week or whatever.
Well, those
like,
are
this,
joke machines. This, you're right. This is probably about character and all that. But does Bobby never grows up, I imagine. So, in a way, they don't.
I mean, yeah, they don't age. Like that, yeah, right. You're right.
So
but
they
kind
of do have a reset button, then.
A little bit, but there. I mean, I guess it is just because it's more character focused. It characters develop.
But he has to move through high school, though. Like, it's really more direct about him becoming old. Like, certain things that, like, I mean, even this episode, as we're talking about, is about, like, a grown-up thing. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm forgetting. Did The Simpsons ever have this episode?
No.
I don't think so, right? No. Yeah.
Well, because Lisa was always 8 or whatever or 9. Yeah. That's
right,
never
so you're saying Bobby eventually goes to high school in the show?
I'm pretty sure. Interesting. I'm forgetting where I dropped off, but I can't remember either. An advancement of that. And like,
I do feel like the character design never changed at the very least, whether or not he went...
Right.
Mm. Right. Fat baby through and through.
I will say,
it's
that
accurate
was
to kids for sure.
Maybe that was why my big thing was Bobby Hill fucking cracks me up. He's always cracked me up. It's one of the fucking smartest, funniest ways to do, like, he's just like a soft kid, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know there's a lot of readings that, like, he's probably queer and like all this great stuff, but like, as they, especially in this episode where he has a girlfriend, but it's totally non-sexual, it's just so fucking funny watching this kid figure himself out. Pamela Adlon is so goddamn good as his character.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, she totally. That was the weird thing, was like the reminder of who's saying what.
Oh, yeah.
You know, including Artie, the strongest man in the world, playing Khan, which I did not remember.
I remembered it, and man, it ages so much worse than you think it would.
It sucks.
The Trade Federation is alive and well in Texas.
He's driving a droid car, is what this guy's driving.
I watched the episode, and I was like, whoa. And I was like, well, they got to have an Asian voice actor if they're doing that.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Definitely. I mean, at the time, they just didn't care about that. So, like, nobody, I mean, this is identical to Apu. I mean,
it's identical to whoever the fuck character Jenny Slate was doing on Big Mouth. That was a black girl.
Exactly. Like, I mean, we were doing this up until literally, like, what, 20? When did Big Mouth? Like, 2018, 2019? They made that flip? I don't know. But, like, we do this. We do this all the time.
And, I mean, like, what makes it a little more forgivable, and or not even forgivable, easy to just ignore, or is because this episode came out, what episode are we talking about? 1999. And like, again, that's not 1966.
Same year as The Phantom Menace, yeah.
Oh, fuck, it was all the rage.
it's not like 1967, but at the same time, you now watching this episode could be like, well, that's what it was. That's what they were doing in 1999. But when you're The Simpsons and you decide never to end, then yes, you're going to have to recast people because it's like, you know what I mean? Like, as opposed to like just fucking ending a show, you could just end the show. And then
you could also just end the show.
If you end the show, you don't have to recast anybody. And those episodes are just like, oh, well, you know, that's what it was. That's what we were doing in the mid 90s. What do you want from me?
I will make an exception, but like, Trade Federation, the characters are just cowardly villains. And that's the main thing, other than their dress and the way they look, is the voice. Khan, again, is a character. And like, they get throughout this series, they give him a lot of fucking layers.
I saw the one episode, Chris.
I understand.
So right now, he's a cowardly villain as well.
Oh, really?
He's antagonistic to Hank. But I do like his bits about... always reminding Hank that he makes more money than him. And then he just thinks that he's like a toothless hillbilly, and that's not really what Hank is.
But no, it doesn't make it right, but it, you know, yeah, a little easier to digest because they give the character of Khan higher status than the Hill family. You know what I mean? In just in the writing.
Yes, and I mean, I do think, like, I'm actually surprised, Eric. I thought this thing was loaded with fucking jokes.
I did too.
Yeah,
I thought it was loaded with them. Like, when early on, when fucking Khan is like, I'm getting a 5-minute speech. Peons get 3. The garbage can bit.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, you guys got a new deep fryer? That's fucking funny.
I mean, the garbage can is great. And I mean, like, Murderer's Row of people, obviously Mike Judge's Hank, the great Kathan and Jimmy, Pamela Adlon. I forgot that Brittany Murphy played Dale's son, which is amazing.
Before or like actually simultaneously with doing Luann and everything, which is weird.
That's right. She's also Luann.
Oh, and we should say also, as far as like recasting or whatever. I know they were like maybe tinkering with a reboot or whatever, but RIP Johnny Hardwick. Dude made me laugh as Dale Gribble so many times over. That is like, see, Eric, what we should have done had we known, I think, before we picked the episode that you'd never seen King of the Hill was find like a Dale-centric episode.
Yeah.
That's a character that you would respond to 100%.
Or a Bill-centric episode. Steven Root is Bill.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I was fucking literally slapping my knee this week. I was just enjoying it.
Well, I mean, I wish I got what you guys got out of it, but the garbage can being dented and then undented didn't really send me through the rafters. There are some jokes. The Ninja Turtles stuff, that was some strong material. I guess maybe it's just a little too intellectual for me, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm like reading the New Yorker here.
Definitely.
Not the case. But yeah, so the fellas are all hanging out outside the fence, drinking their beers. Dale is thrilled that he's got this new garbage can, and he's showing it off all like bragging and whatnot. And yeah, Khan comes in, and he's like, oh, looks like you got a new deep fryer for you guys. And you know, this sets up, he's been asked to speak at some conference in Hawaii. So it is a bunch of great like busting their balls about like, oh, not only am I being asked to make this big speech, we're going to Hawaii to do it. But I do like the gag. We go inside and Khan's wife Min is on the phone and she's like, what's the line? She's like, babysitter violated probation. Uh-oh. And so it's like someone, the whole crux of the episode is somebody has to babysit, you know, Khan Jr. While they go on this trip and the hills. It's a great fucking visual gag if they're like, who of the neighbors could do this? And Min looks out the window and Dale, Boomhauer, and Bill are all trying to cram into the garbage can together.
Only Hank has the dignity not to.
Right. That's like, I guess, why Hank gets selected for the job. He's the only one that's not trying to squeeze in.
This is such smart structure, too, because you get this initial like Khan versus Hank moment, and you don't have to show the scene where they actually ask him to do it because you've already got an idea of what that kind of thing would be like. So you go immediately to the joke of, you're checking the fire alarm?
That's pretty great. And he's like, and the toilet seats have the lock on them and everything.
There's this binder of how-to guide to Connie. It's pretty fantastic.
Oh, like the picture of scrambled eggs, just so these hillbillies know what that would look like to make.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a good line here too when Khan's like, and including an approved reading list, and Hank goes, Newsweek, not in this house. Oh my god, I love it.
He just says, Bobby, you got to read the Daily Stormer today.
you goddamn
that boy
right.
Ain't right. He's reading Newsweek and the New Yorker.
Next thing you know, he's going to want to be. Now it's like the fucking Obama impression for some reason.
It's a tough one.
It is kind of a tough one because it sounds like a lot. Yeah, exactly.
Bobby,
and that's exactly what I was doing.
President of propane sales and gas products.
Bobby, this is the first volume of 7 memoirs by Greg Abbott. You should start getting in on this now.
Oh! So I could do the Hank Hill freaked out cry, which is
dude. Oh yeah, Hank would definitely vote for Greg Abbott, and I think.
And
do you think he would even hold his nose or no?
Nope.
Just be like,
no. Now that's a man that gets things done.
Likes propane. And propane accessories.
And the voice is very similar to the Beavis and Butthead neighbor, right?
Yes,
Mr. Anderson. Right, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not voting for anybody called Beto O'Rourke.
Beto. Yeah.
He was in a band called At the Movie Theater or something like that. And back in my day, you just called yourself the Roadrunners.
Peggy insulted about the scrambled eggs comment and everything. But Bobby's big thing is he's nervous because, you know, they're going to have he and Connie Jr., who are, quote unquote, boyfriend and girlfriend, are going to have a sleepover in the living room with their sleeping bags. And he's trying to pick the outfit because he's all nervous. And it's like, oh, maybe the Ninja Turtles outfit. And it's just like, here's this little kid in like middle school or whatever. He's still got like PJs, yes. The fucking mommy's little man jammies.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so fucking fun. And he goes to Boomhauer because Boomhauer is a bit of a ladies' man.
God, this is great. Yeah, the eternal bachelor, Boomhauer.
And just sort of, and just asks for advice. And obviously, the gag is you can't understand what that guy's saying. You can't understand what that guy's saying.
But you kind of can, though, which is awesome, right? It's like you're deciphering what he's saying and because he asks him. And, you know, Boomhauer, because there's one setup where Bobby's like, well, what do you do if you ever have a lady over something, something? And what Boomhauer is basically saying to him is like, I got a lady over right now, man, because he's in the towel. He's got the shirt off.
Yeah. Right.
And he mumbles, but then you hear like, girl back there already, or like just a little piece of it, like just snippets to get it. It's like so
a grounded quagmire.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure that inspired. I mean, also like the satin, man. Like just like satin boxers, of course.
What
the player would do.
We're in season, I don't even know what a Family Guy is. Quagmire not just raping and eating women on a regular basis.
Eating them.
I think that's probably full on non-consensual sex. It's
cannibalism. Giggity.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
This is season two no more, baby. Yeah, you gotta up the stakes.
Do you want to know the last time I watched a Family Guy episode?
Oh, please.
1,000 years ago, mm-hmm. And I'm sure you can find this in the Patreon archive with the new and improved RSS feed.
Yes.
We did an AD on that Simpsons guy episode, the crossover.
That's got to be it for me too. Yeah,
definitely.
It's just been that long,
and like the gap betwixt that was oceans wide.
Was there ever a crossover with King of the Hill and the Simpsons?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
I think there was a joke about it though. I feel like Hank Hill showed up on The Simpsons like as a gag.
Yeah, what is that? It's Oh no. Hank Hill and Bobby are definitely on The Simpsons. It's the episode where Bart is on that football team,
right?
And Homer takes over coaching from Ned, and they're having the game or whatever. And they cut to Hank and Bobby sitting on the bench, and Hank just goes, "We drove all the way from Arlen for this," or something like that.
Yes,
but it was never like a full-on Jay Sherman struts in or something like that.
Interesting, because this show was very successful. So was The Simpsons, same network. I guess, you know, Family Guy was as well, but it's interesting. I guess because both of those shows are just nonsense joke machines at that point in their history. So.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
We should say both Min and Connie Jr., played by Lauren Tom. An Asian American actress, not Vietnamese. We're getting closer. We're getting closer.
I'm happy to be in the ballpark.
She is, you'd know her from Friends. She's Ross's girlfriend there for a hot second.
Julie.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
She was in The Joy Luck Club, I think. She's also done a lot of other voice work over the years.
And this is a really funny voice performance from her. I like both of them. I like her as Connie. Like the first night, she's very clearly like interested in Bobby. And again, like nothing's gonna happen. But you know what I mean. Like but Bobby blows it. You know what I mean. Like Bobby is too afraid and too kiddy to get into it.
I you love the fact that they don't, because I think the key with King of the Hill is that it avoided easy traps that other shows, sitcoms, animated shows like this would have easily fallen into. You would have very easily had like Peggy or Hank be like, now you two don't keep your distance from one another.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that like you know that they are like they trust like this isn't that thing. This
right.
Is,
yeah. That's, we don't have you don't to, have to worry about that.
We don't have to do that. I laugh so hard when fucking Peggy says, I stirred this macaroni with a spoon. Did you hear that, Hank? No more burns on my hand.
Yeah, that's okay. He's like, oh, thank your mom for the binder. Are you using a spoon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God damn it. It's great. I do love, like, Bobby at the table trying to impress Connie, and he's like, this is a napkin. I sit it down and put it on myself every time I sit here or whatever.
May I interest you in a toaster strudel?
And it's a good, you know, like the propane joke, I don't think ever, I mean, it can get old, but I think I like that she butters him up here just being like this, the steak tastes good. It's like, oh, it's because it was cooked with propane. And she's like, she asked him like a really like smart question about
it's like
did that.
It's called liquid petroleum, but isn't it just a gas, Mr. Hill?
and he's just kind of like, oh, I will talk to this girl for hours.
Yeah, a good cut, and like he's just finished a sentence, and he's like, "You can call me Hank if you want." You know,
right. This is a joke I liked too. It's like, how many? I think this is like the next day or something. How many cows do you people eat in a year?
Yeah,
and Hank is like, "Oh wait, we figured this out."
Which is so good. That's awesome. They did the math. That's when she actually does get her period. She gets to get a bit moody, but that's an amazing joke. I love that.
There is also the. It was weird because I was like. You know, I guess I had looked up the date before I started watching it, but I didn't really put together like just what was going on in 99 or whatever. But like Bobby doing like shadow puppets while singing Eminem, and I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Well, because like that's, I mean, I think the pull of this and South Park were both that they talked about like there were modern things in it, like things that were happening that week were still being talked about in these shows, and like. Something like this, I was like, oh, that's immediately relatable, is like goofing off with your friends and singing the verse to Slim Shady. Yes.
I think that's why, you know, what we call classic Simpsons ages so much better. Because, I mean, while, yes, there was a ton of modern stuff in it, there was so much more references to things that happened before the start of the show.
Yes.
So it makes, even though it's not ancient shit or whatever, it makes it kind of timeless in that way because so much of it is outdated humor.
And they're yellow and it exists in a more heightened world.
They're
fantastical.
They're not people.
And like, you know, more often than not, especially in those early episodes, it wouldn't be I don't even know what Tony Robbins. It would be Brad Goodman, and like, you know what I mean, like
exactly.
That's the analog for it, and that ages a lot better than having a Tony Robbins joke. You know,
yeah, I mean, totally. That, and they do. I like the. I mean, the writing here is fantastic. I think because they go from this and they follow Bobby to school after he whiffs on like maybe kissing or cuddling with Connie.
Yes.
Something like she's interested in maybe like cuddling up or something. And he blows it and immediately goes to Bobby with what's his friend's name? I'm forgetting.
Joseph.
Him. Joseph.
This is Brittany Murphy, by the
way. And he's like, you chickened out, didn't you? And he's like, yes, sir, I did. And they follow that line back to the second that night when they're doing it again. And she has no interest.
Yes.
Like she wants she. Because rather than try to build back up, like back into it, they're like, no, just follow Bobby for these two scenes. And we get there already.
Yeah, because this is when, again, she starts to have her period and she becomes more moody. The first night she's very gracious to the hills. The second night she's like, how many fucking cows do you people eat? Yeah. And Bobby's like, oh, I snuck some dessert. And she's like, you just brushed your teeth. And he's like, yes, I did. And it's like, well, how are you going to brush your teeth again, you idiot? And he's just
why don't you ever think?
Yeah, just kind of like goes to sleep. And the gag here is that she has having her first period and she's also having her first symptoms of moodiness.
Right. It's also
a PMS,
Bobby.
It's called, Steve.
They call it moodiness.
Are you a fucking 1760s doctor?
No, I'm not a doctor of any stripe.
Looks like your moodies are acting up again.
Ooh, looks like Goody Johnson's moodies are kicking in.
Oh, she's got the moodies. We're going to have to kill her. That's just
how
that
the moodies. She's a witch.
But this scene is also like Bobby just not picking up on social cues. She clearly was done with dinner earlier. I don't think more food is necessarily what you want.
It's not the move, dude. Yeah.
No, definitely not. So, yeah, the next morning, like Peggy, you know, is worried about being late to school and Connie's not coming out of the bathroom to be ready yet. So she's it's a really great like, Hank, I'm going to take Bobby to school and you're going to have to drop Connie off because there is no substitute for a substitute teacher who is late for school. Like, Najimy is so amazing in this role. I love her so much. And it's not a particularly Peggy-heavy episode, but you do get some really good stuff throughout it from her. But so Hank has to wait back for Connie to come out of the bathroom. When she finally does, you know, it's a, you know, oh, is Mrs. Hill home? No, you know what's going on, and it's got my first period, and this it's Mr. Hill. I just got my first period, and the fucking amazing goal. Oh, just anytime he's shocked by something, I just fucking love that reaction and the way Mike Judge plays that shit.
Yeah,
it's so
great.
Good.
I love the animation for that too. Just
I mean, it's been memed like 1,000 times. You know,
I love the style. This and Beavis, I think, just have Beavis and Butthead have like fantastic looking animation, and he has to take out the book to try to find a way. But he ends up calling Peggy Hill at Tom Landry High School, and they can't get to her. Like, I've never heard of this, like, not being able to pull a teacher out of class.
Yeah, like they can't get personal phone calls. Like, it's a fucking emergency, man.
Yeah, if you call it an emergency, I'm pretty sure you have to do it. But
she's a substitute teacher. The kids are just putting their heads on the desk anyway.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck what she's saying.
But they're watching Free Willy, too. They don't care. What are you doing here? Like, so, yeah, I mean, this makes Hank has to go to aisle 8A. It's just like a normal department store, right?
Megalomart.
Well, first of all, he takes her to the hospital, and the nurse, you know, takes care of her, and then she's like, "Hey, this is a list of things she's going to need." The nurse played by Beth Grant, by the way.
Oh, wow!
Nice.
The great Beth Grant.
I love Hank being like, "Can't you just give it to me here? It's a hospital, after all." It's like, what? Oh, the fucking! It's a great stuff with the nurse here, because he's like, "If I got stitches, you would give me some Band-Aids if I asked for them." And she's like, "Don't use a Band-Aid for this. Go to the school,
please. Please don't."
Now this is said, and Hank is obviously very uncomfortable. Anybody ever? You know, we're all gentlemen with female partners ever. I have no problem going and grabbing what I need to.
I've purchased.
Yeah, I don't think Absolutely. It's that big of a deal. I mean, it's weird. Hank is just like so incapable of doing anything in this moment. It's kind of bizarre. But
I mean, this was just like the stock and trade, like all sitcoms, like men had to just be bawled over by the fact that periods existed. Like, they just had to be absolutely shocked by it and not know what to do.
Well, and I mean, like, Hank Hill, it's the late 90s. He's a conservative boomer who lives in Texas.
That's
true. Of course he's uncomfortable with this.
Before smartphones, you can't just Google it or whatever. Yeah, that's necessarily true. I mean, he could, but he won't.
Yeah. I would go to the store for my family, and there was a woman on our floor in the apartment building who, I mean, now I know that she was probably a shut-in, just never left her apartment. She was like in her 40s or whatever. And she just one time caught me, was like, "Could you do me a favor?" And like handed me a note that had the maxi pads on it. And I was like, "I guess so, lady. I guess that's what we're doing." Wow. Here I am, an 11-year-old. I'm going to buy you maxi pads. I'll see you.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Nice.
Why not?
Yeah.
I think I got $10 for it.
Do you think she's still in that apartment, or do they exhume the body by now?
I would imagine.
Yeah, she was crushed by a falling pile of newspapers and frozen cats.
But thank God she had those maxi pads.
Cushion the blow.
I guess she could have tried the newspapers after her fashion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on.
Fold them the right way.
Just shove them all up there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it'd be fine.
But I guess, Eric, to some of the what you were pointing out, like, I guess maybe like the schmaltz, you called it family circus stuff. Like, this is kind of one of those moments, because Connie starts crying in the aisle and Hank sucks it up and goes down.
I thought this was emotionally moving. Like, I didn't think this was schmaltz. I was like, they're genuinely trying to be like, this is an emotionally sensitive moment for this.
I mean, I get the misunderstanding there. I do interchangeably use schmaltz for good and bad.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it was touching also, because he sucks it up and she's like, she's really upset because it costs like six whatever and she's only got five and change. And he's like, you know, don't worry. Like, I'm going to buy it. Like, don't worry about that. Like, all that stuff.
I guess because it's a coming of age show, I guess, and you're going to deal with that kind of stuff.
I'm also just, I mean, like, I'm sure if Meg ever brought up to Peter Griffin that she had her period, they would act like it was an alien invasion was happening.
Oh, there'd be a fucking 5-minute riff about that.
Yeah,
I cut away to whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of that one scene in The Shining.
Yep. Precisely.
And then the vagina opening up and all the blood coming out of it. Yeah.
I do like, so they, you know, there is a really funny, like, they finally get word to Peggy or whatever, because Hank calls, they finally get a hold of Con, right? And so they find out what's going on. and leave the they leave the fucking conference right as Khan is like making the speech, which is pretty. And this is a good joke where he's like, to quote, you know, the famous Maya Angelou, and then like someone hands him the note that Min has written about Connie, and he just starts screaming.
Which that's great.
I think I don't know. It didn't really work for me because I'm like, this show's trying to be smarter with their characters and stuff, and then for having this guy blow his whole thing for getting a note, you know it's gonna happen. You have a daughter.
It's too late, man. It's already happening.
Well, then it would be Family Circus to me if it was just all like no jokes whatsoever. Like that's what I guess I like about it, is that it does try to make that balance. Like the cut from like when Connie asks Hank like, how do I use it? And it just cuts to the police bringing Peggy out of
the ship. Yeah, that's fucking great.
I don't understand that joke. Can you explain it to me? So Peggy's, what is the arrest?
Hank called the police.
He called the police to get her out of the school.
Yes, to get her out of the school. Which is to me, which is ridiculous, but also like funny as hell. And like, I'm like, I get it as a slightly elevated expression of Hank's like uncertainty with this stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's also it services another joke in the totally minor B plot of Dale and the guys worshiping this new garbage can because Peggy drives into like smashes into it while driving into the driveway, and Dale freaks out and goes, she didn't even get to see her first garbage day, which is fucking great. And then sort of like a T-1000 or something, it repairs itself
by reconstitutes,
popping back out. I also like the joke where, so Peggy is like sitting outside at home when Bobby gets home from school, and he's like, you know, what's the joke, like, the last time you were waiting for me when I got home from school, I learned about goldfish heaven or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And then she, this is a great like Texas thing, right? She's like, let's go to Whataburger and, you know, talk or whatever. And he has the great line of, wait, where's Lady Bird? Which is their dog, Eric. Yeah. I don't think Lady Bird is mentioned
is
otherwise.
Is that named after Lyndon Johnson?
Lady Bird Johnson, yes. Probably.
Yeah.
Because that was the last greatest president.
And wow, you know, I would be shocked if they, you know, that's the thing is nowadays everyone would hate LBJ, right?
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
I'd love the gag where like she's like, you know, now Khan is becoming a woman, or you know, Connie's becoming a woman, and he's like, but I'm still a kid, I got a kid's meal, I love this toy. He just the toy.
Oh, it's so great. So this sets off this whole thing of, you know, because Peggy said, you know, Connie is becoming a woman now. So, you know, Bobby's like talking with Joseph, and, you know, this is a great joke where Joseph is like, word is Connie's Aunt Flo is in town. And Bobby just goes, yeah, probably because she got her period. And, you know, so he's sort of saying he's worried, like, now she's a woman and he's still a little boy, like Steve was saying. You know, he's like concerned about becoming a man. He's like, you know, women go after guys with mustaches and cars. I've got peach fuzz and a bike.
Girls get cursed when they do this. I mean, there's just like so many little moments of like, I guess I like this more now because, like, I do recognize myself in Bobby more than, like, when this was originally going, I was, like, still like, oh, I'm better than Bobby. I might be bad, but I'm better than fucking Bobby.
You were like, I'm at least a Joseph, okay?
Yes, please.
And, Joseph or up.
But, yeah, like, in those moments, I was like, yeah, they actually nail, like, the uncertainty and, like, the fragility of kids like that.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminded me a little, like, the Wonder Years.
Yeah, it's got that vibe for sure.
Yeah.
Khan and Min race home, and Khan's got a great line here where they like go into the house and he's like, "Where's my daughter? I'm here to take her out of this chicken fried nightmare."
It's one of those things like the voice isn't great. I am so glad you don't have to see Toby Huss do this thing, because right now I could just be like, you know what? I love Toby Huss as an actor. You know what I mean? Like, I will look forward to his next performance. Yes?
Steve, I would suggest you don't buy the DVDs of King of the Hill season 1, 2, or 3.
I will not do so.
And look at the extra section.
Really?
I would really suggest you don't do
so that. So you're saying you've seen footage of this?
Oh, it's there. Oh, it's there.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. That it
absolutely
I cannot repeat what I just remember very vividly that being on one of the extras.
And it's, I mean, it's, it sucks, of course.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Like, Toby Huss is a great actor.
Yeah.
He's great on Carnival. He's fucking hilarious on his episode of Seinfeld. Artie, the strongest man in the world, one of my favorite characters from childhood.
Halt and Catch Fire, great show.
Yeah.
I don't know that I didn't see a ton of that show. I don't remember him from it.
I started watching that show when it was on the air, and I was saying that, and no one would be over on my side. No, no one watched it. And then eventually I stopped watching it out of
anti peer pressure.
Well,
or?
Yeah. See, there's no one to talk to about it. Okay. You see, so it falls by the wayside a little bit. And then suddenly a few seasons go by and I'm an older man. And now that show is gone.
Everything turns. It's true.
For what it's worth, if you ever went back and caught up on it, like, I seem to remember lots of acclaim for how they ended it.
It's really good. Okay. It's a solid show back to front to back.
It is. Yeah, Lee Pace and Scoot McNairy. Yes.
Good old Scoot McNairy.
Mackenzie Davis.
Mm. Yeah,
that's right. Terminator, Dark Fate's own.
That's
right.
Indeed.
Correct.
So the great moment comes in. Story B, where it's garbage day and the three of them are so excited, and because there was some chatter at the beginning about like how many, the guy at the store told me how many beer cans you could fit in it. Yeah. And it's a really great like, hurry up, the truck's coming, but there's still room for three more cans. They're like chugging their beer or whatever, and it's just, I feel like this is a really great like Mike Judge animation world joke of like, the garbage can is picked up by the garbage truck and all the cans fall out, and then the garbage truck dumps the garbage can in it and drives off. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, and Bill yells out, why does everything I love have to leave me?
Yes, Bill, the sad divorcee, of course. Not a lot of Bill Dautry in this episode. A Boomhauer also running down the street, like sprinting after the garbage truck is great.
I love this last interaction between Hank and Con where... like Connie clearly likes Hank because they've been through something intimate together,
right.
Something very like a situation that not many people have to be in together.
Mm.
And like she's easy with him because of that. Whereas
right.
She's still at a distance from her father in a lot of ways. Like it's interesting that how that like plays off. And it gives, I think, as the show goes on, Connie and Hank have to interact quite a lot. So
yeah.
I think it does give a lot of bedrock to their relationship.
Yeah. There is a nice scene also between Min and Connie where she, you know, sits her down and, you know, has the talk or whatever, you know, and she's like, all men are the same. You know, she needs to start acting differently around Bobby now because men only want one thing. And then I do love Hank trying to have the same sort of conversation with Bobby while he's measuring nails and organizing them in a little nail rack. God damn, this guy's such a gentle psycho. It's awesome.
The biggest laugh I got of the episode is the nice little scene at the end with him and Connie, with Bobby and Connie. And it's like, you know, I still want to be your boyfriend and I still want to be your girlfriend. She's like, yeah, but my mom says that men only want one thing. It's like, do you know what it is? Because it's been driving me nuts.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's like, it's just like the stupendous innocence of the Bobby Hill character is just so fucking funny. You know, and so she says, you know, no, I still want to, you know, be your girlfriend or whatever. But my mom says for those 4 days, I can't be around you or something like that. And there is a great thing where Bobby's like, well, you're really organized, so I think you could get it done in 2 days. And she's like, I don't think that's how that works. For those 4 days, I don't want to be anywhere near you. And he just, the last side of the episode is him just being like, deal, see you in 2 days. And he just like runs off because he's a little kid and he doesn't get anything. And it's fucking great. His innocence being played for comedy is kind of, it's just like a sweet, pure thing. Bobby Hill's such a great character. So yeah, probably not the best episode for an introduction to a show. I do get it, but it was nice. Just for me, having loved so much of the show before, you know, stopping watching it, I was like, man, I do want to kind of go back now and find some episode like plots that I remember and kind of revisit and whatever. I guess those are my final thoughts. We'll go around here. Steve, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I can imagine myself going back to some of this stuff because I was like, oh, wow, I haven't thought about this show in so long. And I did laugh quite a bit. And I think I'm in a period where I was like, if I watch any more old Simpsons, I might fucking just kill myself. I don't know what's going on. It's just been too much with the old Simpsons. So maybe that needs to enter my life. That's where I'm at.
We keep it in this house, dude. It is just a Friday through Sunday situation, and that's it. Because if it was, if that floodgate was open 7 days a week, it would get insane. But I totally feel your pain there, Eric Siska.
Yeah. Well, maybe not exactly my tempo, but I think if I had watched this when it was airing, maybe I could appreciate it more than I do. There are some funny jokes. It's just a little sentimental and a little dry and a little maybe too coming of age. But then again, you know, had I seen it when it came out, I probably would appreciate it far more than I do today.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, if anyone out there is a huge King of the Hill head and can maybe recommend an episode or two that's not as coming of age, because there's obviously like episodes that don't focus. It wasn't like a Bobby every week had the main story or whatever.
It seemed pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that the levels of that I feel kind of fluctuate. But Chris Cabin, the final thought of the episode.
You might want to look into like Dale. The saga of Dale and John Redcorn is like one of the funniest little
all
things.
All I've heard is that like he's a conspiracy theorist or something.
Well, that's a big thing. But his relationship with John Redcorn is very funny. And I don't want to ruin it because it is amazing how they do it throughout the sun. But anyway, I love this show. I come back to it probably once every 2-3 years and go through a season or so, skip around a little bit. It is more like a Futurama where like I don't necessarily need to watch it from the beginning. Like if I'm going to watch Simpsons, I usually go through it up to like 10 or something and then start from the beginning again. This I will just pick out ones the same way I will with Futurama, Bob's Burgers. It's on that level for me. I love all these shows.
It's funny you're mentioning this, like, because Bob's Burgers also is something that kind of doesn't resonate with me either.
Oh wow,
I feel like it falls into that, you know, coming of age schmaltziness that doesn't appeal to me. Futurama, on the other hand, I do think is funny. I haven't seen any of the new ones, but I remember liking Futurama.
That and Simpsons, it's two different ways of doing it. It's do you go full into the heightened mode, and then you have to work on making the emotions work more, like that's a more difficult thing, or do you set it in a realistic world and then you have to work harder for the heightened moments of it?
That's very fair. Yeah.
Those are two ways of looking at it. And like, I think Simpsons and Futurama are just immediately the ones like, oh, blow back my hair. Those are funny.
Yes.
And like King of the Hill, I'm just like, I like this show. This is a good show. And like the same thing I would say about Bob's Burgers. But that's it for me. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it, gang. As always, thanks so much for continuing to be the kick-ass Patreon subscriber. And until next time on Animation Damnation, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.